step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news this Monday morning as a twist occurs in the interim Manchester United race. Lots to get into on the show this morning. Also something I think is a disgrace that should be our headline, but it's not actually news, it's an opinion. So I'll give you my opinion on something that's a disgrace in a moment, but we'll start off with the latest around the Manchester United debacle. I mean, look, remember we are out of the FA Cup. I mean, the headline should be Man United embarrassed at home by Brighton reserves because we've got idiots in charge. What we're actually leading with is leaks around Carrick getting the job last night to cover up a terrible performance in the FA Cup. And it's very sad. It's very, very sad that people react to that. I mean, look, I knew at about 7 o'clock last night that Carrick was coming to Manchester for talks today and Solskjaer wasn't. But he hasn't definitely got the job yet. I mean, he is now the firm favourite. There is no talks with Solskjaer today, but there are talks with Carrick. So you would expect Carrick to get the job in the next 24 to 48 hours. The reason I didn't go live on that is because actually I think you're a moron if you do. I think, you know, we lost to Brighton yesterday in the FA Cup because we sacked a manager a week before. And now we're getting excited about an interim. And I'll talk about the interim in a minute. I think it's the best of a bad decision. But what is there to get excited about? We've just been knocked out of the FA Cup. Oh, go live. I've been told that the Carrick's coming up for a chat tomorrow. Oh, go live. It's great. It's not great. It's crap. It's absolutely crap. And I'll tell you what also needs calling out. I'm bloody tired of this. Not just journalists, other content creators, other websites. We get beat by Brighton. And all I'm seeing is headlines like players weren't very good. Delo needs to go. Nothing about Wilcox. Nothing about Ineos. Nothing about the Glazers. And it's been like that for a week. What are they scared of? Why won't they say anything about the real problem at Man United? It needs calling out. Why won't they do it? You got banners at Old Trafford yesterday from match-going fans, but these content creators and journalists won't say a bloody word about the owners. And you crave authenticity. And you want people to listen to you and follow you. You're a bunch of cowards. Absolute cowards. Why won't you put it in a statement? Why won't you put it in a title? Wilcox out, Glinios out, sack the board. Why won't you do... Are you just not intelligent enough to figure that out? You know, it was rather right. Delo was a disgrace. I couldn't give a shit if Delo was a disgrace. I really couldn't. Because at the end of the day, if we had decent owners, we wouldn't have Delo, would we? If we had decent owners, we wouldn't be talking about Carrick or Ollie. If we had decent owners, we wouldn't have these bad players that have been here for multiple managers. I'm past calling players out. I mean, what does that do? Oh, Delo's crap. What? Breaking news. Let's go live. Delo's crap. Of course he's bloody crap. We know he's crap. Been crap for ages. Doesn't stop Carrick picking him next week, does it, in the derby? Didn't stop Fletcher picking him yesterday. Didn't stop Amrin picking him. Didn't stop Ten Hag picking him. They're all picking him because basically it's a shit show of a job, isn't it? But look, no, I think that let's talk about Carrick and we'll come back to that because I've let that slip a little bit earlier about my frustration about so-called, you know, United bloody journalists or whatever. You just say nothing, you know, just nothing about what the real issues are. But look, we do and a couple of others do. And that's why we're getting huge. That's why we're the biggest and best community, because we say it as it is. It might not be comfortable sometimes, but we do. And I've got to say, I do feel a bit bad for Solskjaer, because let's not forget, Solskjaer is a legend of the club. I didn't want him back because I think it's hypocritical to say sack Solskjaer and then bring him back. I'm just not going to be a hypocrite. But some of you did. You know, some of you were very excited about it last week. I think Carrick's the right decision. I think Carrick is the right decision, but I'm not sat here excited. You know, as I said, I knew at 7 o'clock last night that he was coming to Manchester for talks, which basically means he's going to get the job. But I was like, nah, I'm not going live on that. I'm not going live on that. Ooh, woo, I've got an exclusive. Ooh, I don't really don't care. I was like last night, I'm having a can. I'm watching something that's not football related because I am not excited by Michael Carrick becoming the interim. I'll back Carrick. I like Carrick. He was a brilliant player and I wish him all the best, but it's dead man's shoes. He's walking into a shit show. Like, Michael Carrick is not Ruben Amorim and he's not Erik ten Hag and he's not Jose Mourinho. He hasn't got that CB, you know, and he is not going to turn that ship around. What I would say the positive with Carrick is, I think there's next to no chance he'll get a job, get the job in the summer. I really do think Carrick is the classic interim who does it for a few months and then goes. I think if Solskjaer had got the job, he was bloody desperate to get the job full time again, and that would have been the big concern in the summer. What I find interesting is one or two things have happened. Solskjaer's got an amazing amount of PR behind him to try and get the job, or Man United yesterday spun completely from Solskjaer, because the last few days it's been all Solskjaer. You know, definitely Solskjaer is the favourite. Solskjaer's going to get the job. Ollie's back, this, that and the other. And then yesterday afternoon, something changed. Now, I don't know whether it was the Brighton result. I don't know whether they've woken up to the noise around it. But I think for whatever reason, they've made the right choice. But I would also say, this ain't going to change a lot, is it? You know, I watched that game yesterday and I don't think Pep Guardiola as interim makes any difference to the end of the season. I think the bottom line is we're just not very good. You know, I thought Dorgu did quite well yesterday. I thought Mainu did okay. Somebody else who did okay, I can't remember now. But off the back of my head, it was just a terrible performance. And I don't see what Michael Carrick's going to do. I don't see what Solskjaer was going to do. I just think we're going to really struggle now to get into Europe. And if we don't get into Europe, I think the focus needs to be on removing the owners. I think, in a way, I sort of thought this before I went live, Carrick coming in is completely inoffensive. Michael Carrick's personality is not to sit there. I mean, I think his press conferences will be pretty tame, to be honest with you. I think Solskjaer's a very happy, back the Glazers. I think Carrick will just be very, I'm focused on the job. I don't want to talk about anything else. So I don't think we're not going to get anything dramatic from the press conferences. Carrick's literally just going to be an interim. And that leaves the focus on the board. And that's a positive. So we're in a mess. We're in a very big mess. And they've decided to solve this situation by going for an interim coach. And I don't think that's going to distract the fact that we have got protests, that we're going to keep getting beat, that we're going to have some bad results. And it's going to be very interesting to see what we can do in the next 3 or 4 months. But there's a long way to go in this season. We're only just over halfway in the Premier League. We're out of the Cup. We're going to play 40 games this season, which has got to be some sort of record. 40 games is 38 Premier League games plus 2 Cup games where we got knocked out straight away. So it's pitiful. It's another disaster of a season. It's a January transfer window. Well, we're clearly going to ignore it, even though it's only the 12th of January. We've got Man City and Arsenal next. We've got a lot of difficult games to come. You know, I don't even look at the difficult games being Newcastle away or, you know, whatever. I think every game's difficult. I think Fulham at Old Trafford's difficult. I think there are teams that can come to Old Trafford, as we saw with Brighton, and just completely annihilate us and get results. So I think it's going to be a very, very interesting next 3 or 4 months. And look, I can't predict this, but I really do hope that there is finally a point where, you know, this is why I think it's so important to be questioning people who are reacting to results like yesterday and talking about players and talking about individual players. And I'm like, are you literally just terrified of the club? You know, you might not get a question at the next time we're in Europe at the press conference. You know, is that literally why you won't say anything about the owners? You absolute cowards. You know, are you actually scared of the club that you won't say anything about them because you might not get access to in a press conference? I couldn't give a shit. I absolutely could not give a shit about that anymore. You know, I really don't. You know, if we're in Europe, we technically can go into the press conference. We're probably banned. I'd wear that as a badge of honour. That's what being a real fan's all about. You know, it's about putting your club first over what's best for yourself. And I don't get it. Look, I get it with some of them, because they're mates with players who've got deals with the club, and I can't say anything. We all know someone like that. I think there are people who are just scared of the club. They're scared of the club because they don't want to burn bridges. Well, I'm sorry, you're not very authentic then, are you? You're cowards. If you're not going to start calling out this owner, and I'm not doing that to be inflammatory. these are potential rivals, you know, other journalists, other outlets, they're potential rivals to us. I'm quite happy if they don't keep calling the ownership out because, you know, we're getting, you know, a lot of people agree with us for doing it. But I want them to do it because the more people do it, the more powerful the voice is. This is not about competition. This is not about beef. This is not about rivalry. I want every single Man United content creator and every Man United journalist to be calling out the board and the owners because the more people do it, the powerful, more powerful the voice comes. I think it's incredible that people aren't doing it. So, you know, I am calling them out. You know, I don't know their bloody names, a lot of them, but, you know, that's not what it's about anyway. You know who they are. You might watch them. You might read them. They need calling out because they're scared. They're cowards. Maybe their bosses are saying don't do it. I don't know what it is. But if you're a journalist or a content creator or a website owner or around Manchester United or an ex-player, yeah, definitely an ex-player, then you should be calling out this shit show of a club. It's a disgrace. And, you know, be part of the voice for change. We saw it in the ground yesterday. You know, somebody said there was a sign that said Jim won't fix this. And a journalist went, I think it's disgusting how that was there because it has connotations of Jim will fix it and Jimmy Savile was a paedophile, right? I actually quote tweeted it because I'm just like, I'm not having any of this bloody 2025, bloody 2026 political correctness bollocks, right? Have you never seen a Ricky Gervais stand up? I mean, he is far worse than that and it's funny. But that was a statement of, you know, a little bit of something topical to make the message that Sir Jim Ratcliffe won't fix this football club. And again, you get a journalist sort of taking a pop at United fans. Oh, shut up. The message is clear. Get Jim Ratcliffe out of the football club. It's got nothing to do with Jimmy Savile, you know. And that's just a reminder of what happens when you start having a pop at the Glazers. Let's not forget, when we got the Liverpool game, when the fans got the Liverpool game called off, you had bloody Pratt, Jermaine Janus sat there going, I don't know why the fans are protesting. The Glazers have done a good job. So look, as soon as we start kicking up a fuss as a fan base, don't forget the media will start ridiculing it. So we need to be together on this. But look, back to what I was talking about, back to the breaking news. I want to know how everyone's feeling this morning, by the way, but looks like Carrick is nailed on to get the job.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It will be an interesting few months as well because remember, Michael Carrick is an ex-player. He's got good relationships with a lot of our ex-players. And, you know, he's effectively a Glazer employee now. So, and as we've said before, there's a lot of fans out there that can't differentiate between backing Carrick and wanting the owners out. A lot of people will go, we've got to back Carrick, and then they'll be backing the Glazers as well because they just can't do it. They can't do nuance. They can't back Carrick and also scream, get these owners out. So that's where I am. I want Michael Carrick to do well. I want Manchester United to win games. I can't stand the owners. The only way we're ever going to be successful again is to get them out. It's very easy to do both. You can protest and do whatever you want before a game and still turn up and want Man United to win that game. Not a problem at all. So that's where we're going to be. As I said, I suppose one of the most important areas to just talk about for a moment is what does this mean for the rest of our season? Well, I mean, there are no Premier League games until Saturday. Obviously, we've just had the FA Cup. We're not in it anymore. So, you know, fucking unbelievable, really. But, you know, that should be the headline. We are currently in seventh place. We are 3 points off Liverpool and we've got Arsenal and Man City to come. Chelsea are behind us, but look like they've sorted themselves out and they've got a better squad than us. Fulham are a point behind us, which terrifies me because we're playing Fulham pretty soon as well. Sunderland are only 2 points behind us. Newcastle are now ahead of us. Brentford are ahead of us. Liverpool look like they're back. They played very well against Arsenal last Thursday night. So yeah, I think in many ways, it couldn't be the worst time for us to be playing like we're playing. I thought we were abysmal yesterday. And I think there's going to be many conversations about the 4-3-3. I prefer the 4-3-3. I think we're going to stick with the 4-3-3 now. I think even if we get new owners, we're going to be a 4-3-3. So I think the formation argument debate is somewhat irrelevant because we will be a 4-3-3 team now. But I think what we've seen in the last two games is that it wasn't a reason to sack Amorim. Like, there's no difference between the 3-4-3 or the 4-3-3 or the 4-3-3 that Ten Hag stayed. The problem Man United have got is 3-4-3, 4-3-3, 5-3-2. It doesn't matter if you haven't got the players that are good enough. And the reality is, you could probably get Newcastle to play a 3-4-3 or a 4-3-3 and they'd still be a very good team. You could get Man City to play a 3-4-3 or a 4-3-3 and they'd be a very good team. It doesn't really matter what formation we're playing at the moment because we're not a good team. And as I said in the match reaction yesterday, it was so similar to watching the last days of Ten Hag yesterday. The midfield was just spread open, spread apart, you know, and the defence was... I mean, that second goal is just horrific. The way they play their way through and then Welbeck's one-on-one with Yoro and Yoro's not tight. It's just... That wouldn't happen in a back with three centre-backs, but we've changed that now. So we're obviously going to stick with the back four, but the problem is, the scary thing is, and for the second time in a week, really, we've seen owners that, you know, can be dictated to by general consensus. You know, Jason Wilcox asking Ruben Amorim to change to a back four is incredible, but he did it and Amorim lost his job because of it. And now we've gone to a back four and we're worse. So I think that, and they're obviously not going to buy any players either. So I think, look, Michael Carrick's a midfielder. That's a big area. Can he get Mainoo or Casemiro to play anything like he did and protect the back four? Like, first and foremost, somebody just needs to sit in front of the back four. Like, we don't do that. One person needs to sit in front of the back four and not leave it. I saw Mainoo leaving it yesterday. I saw Ugarte leaving it. Somebody just needs to sit in front of the back four, 10 yards in front of it, and not fucking move. Like, just don't ever go wandering off. Protect that back four, because as a two, Martinez and Yoro were shaky yesterday. And I don't think Maguire and De Ligt are going to be any better either. I mean, I presume he probably will go Maguire and De Ligt, Carrick, because he's going to like the experience. But Maguire in a back four doesn't have the pace. So I think for the rest of the season, my prediction is, and I want to get some of yours very quickly before we move on. My prediction for the rest of the season is that we're going to land. I think I said it on New Year's Eve or Christmas. I said, I think we're going to finish. Do find the clip, because it's, I'll say, well, that was before Amorim was sacked. I said we won't finish below sixth before Amorim was sacked. And I don't think we would have done. But now I'm sort of back where I was at the start of the season, saying somewhere between fifth and tenth. Certainly not top four. Forget that. At times this season, it felt like top four was sort of possible. But you had to buy players in January and you had to stick with Amorim until the summer for that to happen. And I'm not saying that Amorim might have finished 10th as well. You know, I'm not saying that. You know, Amorim, it could have got worse. We might have finished 10th. But we absolutely had a better chance of getting into Europe if we'd bought a midfielder in January and stuck with Amorim, in my opinion. We're not buying in January. We're going to bring an interim in. We're going to be, in my opinion, somewhere between 5th and 10th. And if I had to predict, I'm getting the word 8th. I'm thinking eighth, like Brian said. I'm thinking eighth. I really do think Newcastle, Liverpool, Chelsea are all going to be better than us, which puts us into seventh. But I just think we're going to struggle. I think we're really going to struggle. I mean, if Michael Carrick can get us to win three or four games in a row, I mean, that guy's not getting a haircut. You know, may as well just, I don't know what you do. Mate, you're not getting a haircut. And I don't think you're getting a haircut next season either. You are just not getting a haircut. You have absolutely, massively... Well, you're probably doing all right with all the, you know, talent agencies and everything signing you up, to be fair, but I don't think that was your plan at the start. You are never getting a haircut. You're never getting a haircut. We're not going to win five games in a row. Because we've got to win 5 Premier League games in a row now, because there's no Carabao Cup or FA Cup either. So, look, I think it's going to be really difficult for Carrick. I think it would be really difficult for the best manager in the world, because he's ultimately got to work with a bit of with players that, and you could almost see, look, some of our players don't deserve any sympathy. Of course they don't, but you could almost see it in Bruno's eyes yesterday. It was at the full time whistle. I was looking at Bruno and I thought, he looks like a guy that's just sort of like, I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, he called out the owners 2 months ago, remember? People forget that Bruno Fernandes called the owners out 2 months ago. Pretty badly, he called them out around being leaving in the summer. He called the owners out. Bruno called them out. He's now seen a manager he likes get sacked for calling them out. I just don't think Bruno's head's going to be, high five, Wilcox. I really don't. I think he's probably tired of having, you know, all these new projects. And I mean, I just don't, if there's no European football, he's definitely going to go, isn't he? Bruno will always put the effort in. He's not going to down tools. You know, he will keep getting the goals. He will keep getting the assists and he'll be an important player. But you can see the fatigue. I agree with Dylan. You know, he looks very tired of the club and you can't blame him. You really, really can't. But look, in relation to Carrick getting it, and we've got to wait for the officialness, in relation to Carrick getting it, I think it's the best of a bad choice. And that's, you know, I will back Carrick, but I think he's the best of a bad choice. When you're choosing between Solskjaer, Fletcher, Carrick and Van Nistelrooy halfway through the season with a team that's just been knocked out of the FA Cup, this is not something to get excited about, is it? I mean, there might be a handful of United fans that are excited, but is anybody genuinely excited by this? I just think it's the best of a bad choice. And, you know, ultimately, we're in this position because of the board and the owners. And, you know, it does somewhat frustrate me when you're looking around and you're seeing people just avoiding that issue, whether it's mainstream, whatever. Like, people are not calling out Sir Jim or the Glazers or the board, and they're calling out the same people. You know, they're moaning about players. They're moaning about the low. You know, they're moaning about Bruno. And you sort of like go, hold on a minute. These players are playing, you know, it wasn't the low that picked the team yesterday. It wasn't the low that sacked Amorim. Like, these players aren't good enough. But if they were at Man City, they'd been gone years ago. If they were at Liverpool, they'd be gone years ago. Who is responsible for that? It's not bloody Delo, is it? Delo doesn't decide he's staying at Man United. There's everything, you know, interim choices, sacking Amorim, replacing him with an interim, keeping Amorim, not backing him in January. All these things, all wait. I mean, it's just so bloody obvious. It baffles me. It baffles me how some people just don't want to talk about it. And I know one or two people. I've worked with them. They're just cowards. You know, they give the big un and they pretend that they're for the fans, but they're actually just out for themselves, and they'll keep as many doors open as they can because they're terrified of actually having an opinion that closes one of those doors. I know two of them. I could name them now. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to make it about beef. I want to make it about Ineos and the Glazers. But I don't know how they lie straight in bed at night. I don't know how they pretend to be like a fan when they're not acting like a fan. They're acting for their own interests. Or I can't say anything bad about Man United because I might not get invited to that. How does that help? We're so fucked in the summer with no Europe, says 767 Man United. I think this is a great point, by the way. I mean, look, I want us to be in Europe. I find it really hard next week when it's European week and we're on That's Football. You know, I find it really hard. Even I'd rather be in the Europa League. I don't like the Europa League, but at least you're in Europe. At least there's a pathway. You know, I don't want to say I can't do another season out of Europe, but we may well not be doing another season in Europe. I mean, the FA Cup was such an opportunity yesterday as well. And let's not forget, just to touch on yesterday very, very quickly, Brighton picked half of their reserves. Man United picked their strongest team. We were at home and it was pitiful. That game for us was absolutely essential to win. I mean, we may not have won the FA Cup, but to get knocked out in the first round at Old Trafford against half a team of reserves in a game that's absolutely pivotal to our season is, as I say, it's pitiful. Absolutely pitiful. Tripp says, do you want to be in the Conference League? No.
No, that scares me more than anything. I do not want to be in the Conference League at all. No, I don't. I really, really don't. But just going back to what was said by who was it who said it? I'll come back to that. It was 767 Man United said, if we're not in Europe,
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
That, you know, it massively hurts the club. It really does. I mean, look, I read it yesterday and somebody said, I think it was on Instagram actually, I read a post and it was like something along the lines of, we need to not be in Europe. The protests need to happen a lot more. People need to stop buying merchandise. This needs to be the beginning of the end. And there is an opportunity there. There is an opportunity there because obviously if they'd gone for Xavi straight away, I think there's more positivity around Xavi than there is an interim. So by going for an interim, they've basically put themselves into 4 or 5 months of potential pain. That's 4 or 5 months. And look, we all know that any movement dies when the summer windows open anyway, because they'll just buy a player and everyone will say, stop protesting. So there's 4 or 5 months now to really build momentum against the owners. And as soon as the summer hits, whether they get a new manager or they buy players, it always dies in the summer anyway. So there's 4 or 5 months now to really push home how you feel as a fan. And if you're okay with it, sit back and do nothing. And if you're against it, well, here's the opportunity. Because I really don't think Michael Carrick or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer or Darren Fletcher or Van Nistelrooy are ever going to do much. They'll do well to get as Europa League football, in my opinion. So it's going to be a very interesting next few months and be interesting to see who sits back and just says, oh, let's see how it goes, and who stands up and starts saying, nah, this is fucking ridiculous. Why are we writing off another season? Look what they've done in the last 18 months. They've sacked 2 managers. They've wasted over £500 million. They've got a couple of prats on the board who don't know what they're doing. I'm very surprised we're not waking up this morning to Jason Wilcox being sacked or Omar Berada being sacked. I'm stunned. We're actually listening to them on what we should do next still. Do you feel sorry for Ollie? No, I do. I do, in the sense that, you know, this guy is a legend of the club and he's clearly a very nice guy. But I feel sorry for him that Man United made him think that he was going to get the job. He never should have been spoken to at all. I feel sorry for him in the sense that maybe he thought he was going to get a comeback and it was going to be like it was before. But I think, you know what, it might be a hot take, it might be a wrong take, but I personally think it would do him better not to get the job, because I don't think the club or him realised what he was walking into. And I certainly did. The last week, not necessarily even the United fans. I think United fans initially were like, OK, and then the more they thought about it was like, what? This is a bit embarrassing. Why are we doing it? But away from Man United fans, I'm talking about the general media. He was getting rinsed. He was getting absolutely rinsed on Sky, on the radio, you know, in the journalistic. He was getting absolutely rinsed. And I think it's very predictable to say that if Solskjaer had got the job, he would have got absolutely destroyed. Because this team is not as good as the team he took over. And last time, there was no baggage. He's walking in with all the baggage and a shit team. I think it would have gone wrong very, very quickly. And I think Man United are an absolute joke for even thinking about it, for even interviewing him. I mean, it's just another indication of what a prat club we are. We never should have interviewed him. I think he's dodged a bullet. I think he'll be very disappointed. But I genuinely feel sorry for him, because I think the club never should have interviewed him, made him think he was going to get it. But that just shows you how crap the club is. But I genuinely think he was going to walk into an absolute shit show. And that's beyond what the fans would have done. I mean, let's be honest, half the fan base didn't even want him back. So to see a nice guy like that go into that situation, I think it would have been horrific. So I think he's dodged the bullet. He probably won't feel like that, but I think he has. The positive with Carrick is there's no baggage. The positive with Carrick is it's something new. And the positive with Carrick is it feels like he will only do it until the summer and then be gone. But I don't think it's going to be easy. I really don't. I don't know if there's anybody out there that thinks that this team is just a light switch away from being decent. I mean, obviously with Mourinho, it was. The players had given up. They downed their tools. They get a Mourinho out. A new manager comes in. Let's turn the light on. Chelsea did it a couple of times. I think they did it with VS Boas, didn't they? They just downed tools. The next person came in. Let's turn the switch on. We're not that. We're definitely not that. And also, I think it's really important to remember this. And it's been sort of missed. And mainly because the club don't want it out there. But we've figured it out. The difference with this is that the players wanted Ten Hag gone. The players wanted Mourinho gone. The players wanted Ollie gone. The players didn't want, but the players had nothing to do with Amrim sacking. They didn't come into work the next day and go, time to go to work. They came into work the next day after Amrim been sacked and went, what the fuck's going on? What, you know, we were all right. What are you doing? You've done this. And that's really different. If you work somewhere and you hate your boss and they get sacked, the next day after, you're sort of like, you're feeling all right. But you go into work the next day and your boss you like's been sacked because the boss you don't like has sacked them. That's a different mentality, isn't it? Unapologetic says, what reputable manager will want the job? No transfers, no backing. The owners don't want a manager. They want a full guy. Well, I was thinking about this, actually. You know, I think as and when Carrick gets appointed, which I think he will, that really does lean into the fact that I think we will now end up with a new manager in the summer. But I was thinking about this. You know, you look at Pep Guardiola. They're trying to buy Gehi. They've just bought Semenyu. Last January, they bought 3 players, I think. In the summer, they bought a few. So in the space of 12 months, they've basically redone their team. And whatever you think about Man City, that's how you wish Man United behaved. In 12 months, they've gone from a really bad season to a total rebuild in 12 months. And that's what a football club does. You're not HSBC. You know, you're not Starbucks. You're not a bloody business. You're a football club. So Man City, in 12 months, having realised they weren't going to win that league title, were like, right, we want to get back quickly. So in 12 months, they've used 3 transfer windows incredibly well to rebuild the team. Man United basically ignored the first transfer window for Amrim, even though he was under shit. You know, 20-year-old Dorgu, right? The next summer transfer window, they don't buy him a midfielder and they give him a kid in goal and up front. And then the next transfer window, they don't buy anyone. So Amrim's first 3 transfer windows, considering this is a new system and a new manager, a kid in the first transfer window, no midfielder and a couple of kids in goal and up front, and then nothing in the third window. I mean, that's just not backing. That's sacking, isn't it? You know, so if I'm the next manager of Man United, I'm looking at that. I'm also looking at the fact that, well, I'm coming in the summer. Why don't you do something in January? But United don't even know who the manager's going to be, in fairness. But if I was like Pochettino and I knew I was coming in the summer, I'd be like, well, get me this player in January. That's not happening. So whoever the manager we're going to bring in the summer, we don't know who it is. And there's absolutely no preparation going into it. And this is like, this to me is an interesting point, because are we going to get a manager in the summer or are we going to get a coach? If we're getting a coach, then he doesn't have a lot of say in transfers anyway. If we're getting a manager, then he will have a bit of a say in transfers. But it seems to me that we are so confused about what we are as a football club, because you've got Berarda and Wilcox who clearly want to run things so much so that they're telling a manager, we won't back you and we want you to change your formation. We're now sat in January. That manager's been removed. They're in control, but they're not doing anything in the market. Surely Jason Wilcox is thinking, well, I'm the guy in control. Let's buy a couple of midfielders I like. But they're still not doing it. It's messed up. Seems to me they want to run the show but blame the manager. Because if I was Wilcox and I've just sacked a manager when I shouldn't have done, I'd now be buying players that I want to give to the next manager because I want to be in control. So he wants to be in control and he sacks a manager because he wants to be in control. He's now in control and he's not going to buy anyone anyway because he's going to wait for the next guy. It's all over the place. So, go, you know, to answer the question about the next manager, well, I think the next manager will be a puppet, probably Kermit the Frog. But no, I think it will be a puppet. I think it's got to be somebody that. I mean, remember who is interviewing him. I mean, imagine Conte being interviewed. You're a fucking idiot, mate. Yeah, you're not getting the job. Don't care. You're a fucking wanker. Knobhead. And walk out. It's got to be somebody that comes in and goes, I love your work, Jason. I loved it when you won the title at Blackburn. And I loved what you did at Southampton. You know, it's got to be somebody that does that to get the job. So that rules out Ancelotti. That rules out Emery. That rules out Conte. It probably rules out... I mean, it might not rule out a Nagelsmann, let's be honest. It certainly wouldn't rule out a Southgate. It might not rule out a Glasner. You know, who's the next fall guy, says Puregate, yeah. Anyway, please do smash a like on the video this morning. We're nearly at 1,000 likes, and make sure you've subscribed. Lovely stuff. I want to go through some of your comments, but headline is that Ollie is going to get snubbed, and it will be... Carrick, by the sounds of it. We've got Ben Jacobs on at 2 o'clock today as well, so that'll be good. Timeline for Carrick getting the job. So basically, as per what I was told last night, talks today, now. So I would say next, maybe later today, probably tomorrow morning, they'll want him in training for Wednesday for the Manchester Derby on Saturday. So, yeah. If we get new owners, does Amrim get a second chance, says Samuel? No. I mean, look, this might confuse some people. I think sacking Amrim was ridiculous in January. And I think asking him to change his formation was criminal. And I think not backing him in the January window was stupendous. But now that it's been done, we absolutely have to build the club around a back four. We're not ready to play a back four. We're not. I mean, I find it laughable that people thought Amrim going to a back four was going to change anything. I mean, it just gets more stupid by the day. We're not ready to play a back four. We're shit in a back four and we're shit with a back five. But we have to now be a back four club. So to be a back four club, we need a back four manager. And we then need to build that midfield out, because if you're going to play a back four, you need two centre-backs that can play on their own. Now, at times, I thought De Ligt and Yoro looked quite good to be able to do that if we ever did it. But at the moment, Yoro looks, you know, people say the next Rio Ferdinand. I don't think he's even the next Anton Ferdinand at the moment. So we've got to figure that one out. And De Ligt's not fit. So first and foremost, we need two centre-backs that can play together, because we've been playing with three for the last year. That's a problem.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We need two decent fullbacks. I'm not convinced that Dalot is the person. Mazraoui could be a steady right back for the next 18 months. Whether he's going to be good enough going forward or not, I don't know. You need to be able to go forward. But in the short term, you'd go Mazraoui. Left back, I just don't think Luke Shaw can do that anymore. And Dorgu has looked one of our better players over the last few weeks, but is still a work in progress. But the big issue is going to be the midfield. And wingers as well. Who are the wingers going to be? I mean, Ahmad and Mbeumo off the right, but you're probably going to have to use Cunha off the left, and that's not natural width. So we need wingers, we need midfielders, we need two centre-backs that can play centre-back, we need full-backs, we need Le Mans to hopefully keep progressing, because last couple of games he's looked a bit low on confidence, which is probably to do with the Amrim sacking. But the midfield's the biggest problem. If you can get hold of the midfield, I mean, I was talking to a Villa fan today and I was saying they're doing really well, but apparently Kamara got injured and he was saying we didn't have Kamara at the start of the season and we couldn't, you know, that was when we couldn't score. So it just shows you that, you know, even speaking to a Villa fan, they're really worried about one midfielder being injured because he's so important to them. And, you know, we saw that when Roy Keane got injured in the 97-98 season. but we haven't even got a midfield. So we need a midfield. I mean, if we had a decent midfield, we'd still need a left winger, but we still might be able to get top four. If we had a decent midfielder, we probably still need two decent centre-backs, but we probably still could get top four. It's so important. So I think that solving that midfield is going to be the biggest issue. But we have to stick with a back four now. And that's not validating sacking Amrin, by the way. I just think now that they've done it, we have to stick with the back four. Which would be interesting because some of the managers we're looking at, I mean, somebody said to me, Carrick plays a back three. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to what he did at Middlesbrough. But I don't think he'll do that at Man United. I really don't. We should try experimenting with Cunha as CM, as Joel Linton has done with Newcastle. He gives me Moussa Dembele vibes, says Akshay. I don't think he does in the tackling. Anyone who's not calling out the Glazers are not real Man United fans and want us to lose, says Bailey. If the owners got Amrin the players he needed and he failed, then they had every right to sack him. But at this point, the owners need to go, says 67 Parky. Ray Carl Brown Amore, the legend, says, to me, both windows are screwed. January and summer, all the plans before are done. And next season will be up and down too. It's madness. Well, it's as I said yesterday, if you didn't watch the morning show yesterday, Ray raises a good point. If you want to buy Elliot Anderson, you don't just speak to him during the World Cup. You're speaking to his agent now, certainly by March. How do we sell that project? Carrick's the interim. Who's the manager? Don't know. Are you going to be in Europe? Don't know. Are you going to get worse or better? Don't know. Man City. Yeah, we're going to be in Europe. You're going to be a big part of the project. We're going to try and win the title again. And yeah, the future's there. You know, you can't compete. And this is what they've done. Now, let's switch that around a bit. You back Amrin in January. We're in the top five. You speak to Elliot Anderson. Yep, we're in Europe next year. You're a big part of the midfield. Everyone knows we need to improve it. We've got stability. We want you to be the guy that takes us to the next level. We're going to finish in the top five. And we want to finish in the top three next year. We want to build with you. I'll sign up. That's what we've just said goodbye to. Adam Wharton, right? Adam Wharton speaks to Chelsea. We're going to be in Europe. We're building something really exciting. We want to go for the title next year and we want you to be a big part of our project. Man United. Yeah, well, we might not be in Europe. We can't guarantee that. We don't know who the manager's going to be. We don't know what the formation's going to be. Yeah, there's protests all over the place and we're interested in you, but we might not even be able to afford you. We've got to see if we get in Europe or not. Yeah, I think I'll go to Chelsea. Flip that again. You're speaking to Adam Wharton. You're in fifth place. Amrin is in charge. You go, look, we are going to be in Europe. You can tell that. We're massively short in the midfield. There's a spot for you. We want to be in Europe next year and we want to go for the top three. It's a better project. What project are we going to sell? And that was another reason why I wanted to keep Amrin till the summer, because I just don't know what you're selling to these players in March and April when you've got an interim in charge. You don't know who your manager's going to be and the club's getting worse. But spin goes a long way with this football club. And that's all they've got. The only thing we're good at this football club is spinning and lying. And some of our fans consistently fall for it. But you know what? I've played the game. And I've seen so many transfer windows. I know when they start talking to players as you do. You don't start talking to a player at the end of March. Sorry, you don't start talking to a player at the end of May. You start talking to a player in March international break. And what are we going to be selling in then? I don't know. If you get new owners, does Amrin have done that one from Samuel? The only hope I've got is maybe we'll look better even slightly with Mazraoui and Bermo and Ahmad backs as Mr. Saunders. Look, I keep the league table up there because you look at the team yesterday, it's going to finish in the bottom half of the table. You have got Mazraoui back. You have got Ahmad back. You have got Mbeumo back. You've hopefully got Dalit back. And I think with Amrin, we'd have been fine. They understand the system. Well, I mean, they're more comfortable with the system than the back four, as we saw yesterday. Those players are going to make us better. It's whether they can click with the back four or not. I don't know whether they can. Man United is the North Korea of football. The owners decide. The fans obey. All we do is watch. Our protests need to hit 100 times harder, says the Prince. Glazers should kick Ineos out if they want to be saved from angry fans. Ranjak is the director of football. Get a manager with a 4-3-3. Sell all the garbage, says John. I mean, you know what? It's never going to happen. But imagine Ralph Ranjak as the director of football. The job he should have done. And, you know, We've got bloody Jason Wilcox. Ralph Ranick, who's got a... I mean, how many players did he recommend to us? Some from South America, some from the Premier League, some from Europe. I mean, the guy knows football. We've got bloody Jason Wilcox, whose only plan was to get Liam Delap because he coached him. Sack the owners. My ancestors got exiled to the edge of the world for less. Criminals, says Cameron. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. He said that. What reputable manager will want the job? No transfers, no backing. The owners don't want a manager. They want a fall guy. Thank you very much for that. Is it fine to call out Sir Alex Ferguson because he never says anything about the Glazers, says Jason. I'm very uncomfortable with calling out Sir Alex Ferguson. Could United do it in the Champions League nights against in the Conference League against Shamrock Rovers, says Max. Ryan says, I see there was a leak today about Nagelsmann's interest from Man United. All bullshit, I'm sure, but hard to get excited about. Mate, they're going to keep doing that. Last week it was Tuchel. At the weekend it was Pochettino. Today it's Nagelsmann. I mean, if you want to fall for that rubbish and get excited about it, cool. I mean, there are people out there that never talk about the owners. And, you know, they never do. So you can't really expect them to do anything other than, you know, glorify the spin that comes out, which isn't true. The saying straw broke the camel's back. If 15th didn't do it for United fans, I don't know what will, says Dazzo. We're so fucked in the summer with no Europe. We've done that one. Wilcox and Berard are out. Ranick in, says Kyle. Mark, is the Gilea hint you want Tuchel, says Paul. No, I'm just addicted to it at the moment. It's just very cosy. What would you choose? Finish 11th, Glinios gone, or finish 6th, Glinios stays? I'll take Yazin. I can do another year out of Europe if we've got new owners, because we'll actually start coming back. Project after project. It's not a project anymore. It's a badly run football club. Sir Alex was great because he had full control of football-related activity. Owners own, managers manage, says PP. I don't think protests are enough to get these owners out. Need to get games called off and stop buying merch, says Dazzo. Look, you can be scared of saying it, or you can just acknowledge evidence. And the evidence is that, whether it was by design or not, the Liverpool game getting called off caused issues for the football club. That there was a lot of criticism from the Premier League, from the media, and United fans got a lot of shit for doing that. But most importantly, siege mentality. Do you really give a shit what the media say? They're always slagging us off. The Glazers shit themselves when that game got called off, because they suddenly realised, we're going to get points deducted. We're not getting match day revenue. The Premier League basically threatened to say, well, we're not having that game replayed. Liverpool get the points. So it just depends how much you want to do it. Now, when you look at fan culture around the world, South America, Europe, they weren't barren eyelids at doing what needs to be done to make change. Look, this is why a lot of people would love to see the Bundesliga model, where you've got fan ownership. I don't think we're ever going to get it in the Premier League because it's too commercial. But if you had fan ownership, we wouldn't be in this position, because we'd have a say in how the club is run, and the owners are beholden to the club. But you don't. You then don't have the commercial opportunities. To be fair, but there are things that can be done. It's just how far, as a fan base, people are willing to go. And I do agree with you. You know, trying to empty Old Trafford is a waste of time. Games getting called off terrify the owners. But if they don't want to go. I mean, look, what happened when those games got called off is Joel Glazer sat on a Zoom call with the fans and said, I don't know what he said. If you got a game called off, maybe they'd shit themselves and say, all right, we're going to buy a player. It doesn't mean they're necessarily going to go. I mean, look, this rebuild of Old Trafford is worth so much money to them. So much money. I mean, realistically, you might be better off trying to stop the project going ahead. I don't know how you do that, because the governments are involved, but that's what they're hanging around for. I don't think they actually give a shit about results. I don't think they really care. I think they just want to maintain what they can hold on to get that stadium built, because once it's built, they're loaded. We're so bad that we might as well play a 5-0-5, says Margot Robbie official. If it honestly doesn't matter who comes in to babysit the team, results will get worse. Ineos and the Glazers have chosen to throw away another season, says John. Yesterday's performance was basically Ten Hag ball with slightly better attack, minus Onana, says Gandalf. You know what I found hilarious about yesterday was the fact that we didn't press aggressively, which is what we have done on occasion with Amrim. We didn't aggressively win second balls, which is what we have done on occasion with Amrim. And we didn't actually create as many chances either. And we defended shit. Now, Amrin Ball wasn't great, but yesterday was fucking awful. It really was like watching the last days of Ten Hag. We haven't got the midfield to play a 4-3-3.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
We haven't got a midfield to play a 3-4-3, but we haven't got a midfield to play a 4-3-3. You've got to protect your defence even more. I was actually thinking about that this morning. I bet Casemiro is absolutely fuming that we've gone to a back four, because he's got to work harder now. In a 3-4-3, he's got three centre-backs behind him. He's now got to work harder. I wouldn't be surprised if Casemiro's season falls off a cliff now. Because if you're Casemiro, you've suddenly got to work so much harder now. People don't realise that. Three at the back, as a midfielder, you don't have to work as hard defensively. Two at the back, you've got to work really fucking hard. And nobody's picked up on that. Like, you do. I've played midfield. I'm sure many of you have played midfield. If I've got three centre-backs behind me, I can have a little bit of, like, security. If I've got two behind me, I'm doing a lot more running defensively. The problem with interim is you want them to do well for top four. At the same time, it's scary if they do too good a job and become permanent, says Shane. We're not getting top four, Shane. We're not going to get top four. Liverpool are playing well again now, in my opinion. I think they're going to kick on. I think Chelsea will kick on. Newcastle worry me. Villa are very unlikely to drop, 11 points to us? I mean, when you deep it, we've only got 17 games left, haven't we? That's it. That's our season. Buying the best players from smaller Premier League clubs won't work because United is a different beast, says Marlow. I bet Garnacho would be the best player at Wolves and Rashford the best player at Brentford. Do you not think the players are not downing tools against the hierarchy? Regardless of who comes in as interim, they're going to struggle, says Average. Carrick retired, did his coaching badges, stayed as assistant, managed as interim and left. Managed at Middlesbrough for 3 years, now back as interim and still hasn't been replaced in the midfield, says Kent. Well, you could make an argument that Carrick, at his age, might be able to do a better job than our midfield. I mean, that's stretching it, but there might be a debate there. Was more of a news that Bruno's account got hacked than United losing to Brighton. This is the state of Man United. At least fake Bruno called out Ineos. Need another ownership model, but we won't have it, says Danny. Welcome to Members Club, Andy. You're a legend. Thank you so much. And new players won't change it. It's like throwing a new fish into a tank where the water is killing the fish. We need to change the water. What? I love it, Lee. I bloody love it. I love that as an analogy. You're absolutely spot on. And you know what? As somebody that likes an analogy, I think that is absolutely brilliant. There's no point buying new fish and throwing them into dirty water that's going to slowly kill them. You need to change the water. Absolutely spot on. Do you think we would keep any players after the Glazers get out, says Bailey? Well, mate, there's good players there. I mean, you know, I was saying this to somebody this morning. You know Lacey, when he got sent off yesterday? If you want a few seconds on why young players is not the solution for Man United, then listen to this. I've been saying for a while, and many of you agree with me, it's baffling why Ineos and Favel are so obsessed with buying the next Casado, the next this, the next that, and they do it with a big bloody smile on their face like they should get a badge for it, right? We can't develop young players at Man United. We can't develop young players at United. We have a terrible track record of it, and the reason we can't do it is we don't have the leaders or the stability in the team to develop them. When Phil Foden came in at Man City, surrounded by winners and top players. When David Beckham came into Man United and the other players from the class of 92, they're surrounded by winners and characters. Lacey comes on again yesterday and, you know, he's a breath of fresh air. Gets a yellow card. Roy Keane goes up to him, or Gary Neville, or David Beckham, and says, calm down. Calm down. You're doing really well, but just calm down. You're getting lost in the moment. You know, I know you're excited. I know you're up for it, but just calm down because you'll get yourself sent off. Nobody does it and he gets sent off. That, to me, is a prime example of why we shouldn't be getting overexcited about buying the next Caicedo from wherever, this, that, and the other. Because until we prove that we can develop talent, they're never going to develop. You know, Yoro generational talent doesn't look like it at the moment because who's developing him, right? Lacey's a fantastic player, and nobody, what I really liked about last night is that nobody has said anything bad about it, because you know what, the innocence of youth, they're going to make mistakes. But really, he's been let down. There's zero leadership in that team. As soon as he did that yellow card tackle, Bruno, or if Maguire was on the pitch, or Deleu, or somebody who's part of the senior leadership team, should have gone up to him and said, mate, you're doing really, really well. Just calm down. These referees, they'll be looking to make a name for themselves. Don't, you know, you just got to calm down. You know, calm down. You're not, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You're doing absolutely brilliant, but just calm down. Nobody did it. Nobody did it. And he's there a few minutes later, pumped up, throws a ball. I mean, look, maybe we don't have the personalities the same. 100% I'd have done that with that ball. At that age, you know, I used to get yellow cards all the time for being petulant and silly and nothing as bad as that. No, sorry, things worse than that, like swearing at referees and stupid stuff like that, which you shouldn't do. Bouncing a ball down because you're frustrated because you didn't get the throw in, it's nothing. But these referees are going to take advantage of it. But somebody should have been there to help him. And that's the problem, isn't it? You can sort of see it. You know, you come on as a kid at United and you're on your own. You see it with Yoro, you're on your own. Dorgu, you're on your own. Lamons, you're on your own. Lacey, you're on your own. No, there's nobody there helping him out. There's no one there putting an arm around the shoulder. There's no one there giving him encouragement. You're on your own. It's hard enough to make it at United, but doing it on your own, it's even worse. I think the players have checked out and now looking at the World Cup. I mean, this is a problem, Gaz, as well. This is a problem. You know, players. I've gone Geordie, like, you know, players. Players will now be looking at the World Cup and going, like, this season's over. If Bruno Fernandes exerts himself and does his ankle, he misses the World Cup now. You're in that avenue now where a 6-month injury or a 4-month injury puts you out of the World Cup. So you make a good point. And that's what I mean about Casemiro. No one's thought this through, have they? Right? You've got Casemiro, right? He's back in the Brazil squad. It's the World Cup in the summer. In a 3-4-3, he's got three centre-backs behind him. It's less work. In a back four, he's got to do more work and there's a World Cup in the summer. Do you think Casemiro's not thought, you know what? I've got to be very careful here. I've got to do loads more running now in a team that's shit and it's a World Cup in the summer. Do I really want to empty my batteries over the next 3 months fighting for a club that I'm not going to be at next year? Or do I want to just take it a little bit easy into the World Cup? That is a great point. He's out of contract in the summer. Why should he run through brick walls harder and maybe miss out on the World Cup? And we've seen Casemiro do that before. I'm sorry to say it's about a world-class player, but we've seen Casemiro under Ten Hag in a back four look like he's checked out before. And that's not on Casemiro. That's on the Glazers. That's on Ineos. That's on nobody in the fucking football club is having these conversations. It's amazing. It's amazing that they don't think these things through. So if Casemiro drops off in the next few months, we're basically reliant on Ugarte and Mainoo to actually step up. I think the players... anyway, great point, Gaz. It's all just spin. There'll be another interim next week. They're literally just playing a game with us. Thank you, Mark, says Carbon. Well, thank you to all of you. I think a lot of people are talking a lot of sense this morning and we're only scratching the surface of potential problems. You know, how do you convince a signing to come in this situation in the summer? I don't know. Players checking out for the World Cup. 4-3-3 being harder work for a lot of the players. Ineos, look, if you're a centre-back, it's a harder job now as well. You know, if you're Martinez and you've got two centre-backs with you, or you're Yoro and you've got two centre-backs with you, or you're Maguire and Shaw, you've got two centre-backs with you, it's less work. You now got to do more work. Ineos with Wilcox and Omer are three stooges, says John. Patrick Lynch says, Ineos have convinced some fans that inaction equals competence. No interim, no signings, and it's been defended because it could be damaging to rush. We're on our knees and they have decision paralysis. It's shocking, says Patrick Lynch. Look, I don't really want to see fans falling out with each other, but I do want to see, I do want to understand why people aren't saying anything about the Glazers and Ineos and the ownership. I don't understand that. You know, and there's plenty of people doing it. The best season that Nice has had is this one where we've not been allowed to get involved because of multi-club ownership rules. They've been so much better without our interference. So Jim Radcliffe in 2025, says Red Devil. We're going to miss Ruben in the future. They will hire a company man that settles with top four and we'll never hear the truth about the board again, says Stig. These journalists don't call out owners because they lose access to the club. They're covering their careers, says Shahin. Maybe controversial, but I think this current side wouldn't finish top two in the championship, says Alexander. Well, it should do, considering the players we've got. What's within the chat? A manager won't change the performances. Changing the board won't change it. The owners need to sell the club, says Lee. And what's the estimate on how much we'll spend sacking Amrim, using Fletcher and signing another interim? Then compare that to how much we saved sacking 500 plus United employees. The ownership is shameful, says Alec. Welcome to Members Club, Duncan. Well, look, we should always remember those 500 employees that lost their job. The amount of money that we saved from that was a few million. And, it's been dwarfed by sacking Amrim. So, the club's on its arse, really. I've said for a while, I think that'll bite us in the arse as well. I don't think you can sack half your workforce and pretend that you're a better club for it. There might have been some of those people that needed to go, but half your workforce, it's going to hurt at some point. United's plan, avoid experience, churn 5 managers in 2 years and sack staff, then pay millions in severance, sack a director of football after months, repeat endlessly and expect success. Elite mismanagement, Glazers out and Ineos out, says Adel. Would you buy Parrott? 5 goals for Porto and Hungary, says Max. We need an experienced striker, but it's low on the list at the moment. Sell to Qatar and get out, says Major. What if the next owner is worse than the Glazed Linios, says Christopher. I mean, I'd take that chance. It's like being, 20 years in a prison with no daylight, being fed bread and water, no TV, no phone, no interaction with anybody, and someone opens the door. You might be walking out into a lion's cage. I'll take my chance. At least it'd be quick. I'll take my chances on it, mate. I really would. I always, obviously the grass isn't always greener, but I mean, are the next owners really going to want the club in debt and bleed it like a business and, not be bothered about the fans or the club or knock it down? I don't care, mate. Anything's got to be better than this. I don't think anybody could mess it up as much as they have. And the Ineos thing has actually made things worse. I almost feel sorry for the Pratts who argued with everybody, telling everyone that Sir Jim was the right choice just because he had a British passport, because it had to be that. All these people that championed Sir Jim, they must have just been doing it on literally they wanted a British person over Qatari, because the people that wanted Sir Jim, what was it you wanted him for then? You had no information, really. You pretended you did, but you didn't. You basically wanted him because you didn't want the Qataris. You wanted Sir Jim because he was a local lad from Britain. And that says a lot, doesn't it? Because ultimately, he's been worse than the Glazers. It's been absolute shite. But people told us it was the right thing to do. Well, the only thing I can think is because he was British then. Like, what has he actually done? He's worse than the Glazers. I mean, I wouldn't say was worse than the Glazers because the Glazers bought the club and put it into debt, but the last 2 years have been worse than the previous 2 years under the Glazers. I don't think that's up for debate. Surround the refs' cars so the game gets cancelled, says Keel. Only have to watch 17 more games of this might seem a small mercy, says Doug. Another season written off, 1 year close to profit from the new stadium. Mission accomplished by the owners, says Paul. Do you know when Man United was bad? That's how crap the Glazers are, says Bailey. Everybody is saying we will go for the elite manager like Tuchel. If they can't handle Amrim, can they handle... Look, the thing about Tuchel, Mira, is that he's fell out with Chelsea and he's fell out with PSG. And he fell out with Dortmund. So I don't think they'll go for Tuchel. I almost think if they do go for Tuchel, they're idiots. I mean, he's literally fell out with every club he's been at. I like the guy, but they'll sack him, Club is honestly in the mud. Stayed away from watching. Just going to get away from how poor we are, says Mad. Have you seen the Cantona AI speech? You should check it out, says Mibs. I mean, I'm not a big fan of AI. The club have put themselves in this mess. I don't mind Carrick, but this is the time to have new owners. They have to come to the end. What I mean by that is, Mibs, is that why should I watch a speech from Cantona that's not real? I'd rather Cantona just say it. Unpopular opinion, but I wouldn't have gone for an ex-player as interim. Oh, 100%. Paul, 100%. We can only deal with the world that we're being offered. Why are we going for an ex-player as an interim? Absolutely agree with you. Yeah, best in class. Well, that's not narrowing it down to somebody that played for the club at some point, is it? We should try experiment with Cunha. We've done that one as well. Okay, well, look, thank you everybody for tuning in. Pizza says Ineos bought a piece of the club just like the Glazers did. Ineos are going for full ownership over the Glazers. No, they're not. Oh, that's what they were all saying. Yeah, sarcasm I get, yeah. Delow is useful as an Arne Ansum's voucher to a nun, says Neil. Yeah, but we shouldn't be pinning this on players, mate. you know, as I said at the start, it frustrates me that there are so many people out there with platforms, whether it's journalists, ex-players, content creators, who are saying sod all about the ownership because they're cowards. You know, that they're talking about styles of play and they're talking about individual players because, you know, and their content means nothing because it's not authentic. It's not actually speaking to the masses, is it? It's not actually identifying the problem. You know, it's like a house being on fire and you're going, oh, have you cut your grass recently? The house is on fire. Lovely grass, lovely grass. The house is on fire. Oh, where'd you get your flowers from? It's bullshit, absolute bullshit. Ewan says, I now think we are at the point of no return. Under this ownership, you might be right, Ewan. There may well not be a point of return. The point of return is the minute you hit the reset button and you remove these owners. There is a way back. Man United's not finished. There is a way back. I just don't think there is a way back under this regime. Regime change is what's needed. And look, in far bigger things, you look at countries around the world that have needed regime change to change the way that country has been run. And then they change regime change and they're a better run country. We need regime change at Manchester United. And if Sir Jim Radcliffe, this is important, if Sir Jim Radcliffe was a genuine lifelong Man United fan, he'd walk. He would walk. I always said this was a vanity project. This was a rich person who supports Man United, who wanted to be the guy that took Man United back to the top, but doesn't have the skills to do it. If he really is genuine a Man United fan, go and focus on Ineos, because that's what you're good at, and get out. And I'd have some respect for you. The damage you are doing is going to go down in history. If you're a genuine Man United fan, you need to get out. Get out. United's plan, avoid it. I've done that one from Adel. Right, thanks everyone for watching. We've got Ben Jacobs at 2, so we'll be back with you for that. Obviously, we'll go live if we get the confirmation officially on Carrick, but I don't think we'll get that before we speak to Ben Jacobs at 2. And we've got an 8 o'clock show for you as well. So thank you, everybody. Breaking badness is I've got a ticket for Saturday. Don't want to go anymore. I mean, look, it's a Manchester derby. It's the first game for the interim. The crowd will be up for it. You never know. I've seen shit Man City sides beat brilliant Man United sides. So it's a derby. You never know. But, you know, it. You hope we don't get battered, because what does that do for us, really? Take care, everyone. Speak to you all in a bit.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.